Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Bright blessings, wonderful listeners, and welcome to Lady Bridges Ask a Witch, the show where you can call in with your most pressing questions and hopefully get some answers. We'll talk about household and magical tips, share crafty hints and how-tos, and discuss everything in between, from the curious students to the novice, from beginners to high priestess and priests, from coven leaders to event planners, from speakers to the maids, the mothers, and the crones. This show is for you. I'll do my best to answer your questions or try to find the answers if possible. We have a whole community here to work with, so grab a seat. Join us for a spell or two, and remember, there are no stupid questions, just unasked ones.
Wow, welcome to Ask a Witch, brought to you by Pagans Tonight, where pagans unite. And with me tonight is our lovely Lady Bridget and our wonderful guest, Laura Craig Gaddis from Puka Pages. So without further ado, let's bring everybody in. Lady Bridget, are you with me?
I'm with you.
Yes, I am.
All right. And Laura,
you. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Well, I want to tell our listeners thank you for listening to us. We're always so glad that you can take the time to be a part of our little family here. And tonight, we're really excited because we have our very special guest with us. We have the founder and author of Puka Pages. Many of you that are on our Ask a Witch site might be familiar with her handouts that we frequently share with you. So please welcome Laura to our show.
How are you, Laura?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you excited yet?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we sure are glad you're with us tonight. You know, the last time was a Mercury retrograde snafu, but you made it tonight. So we're just going to sit here and just talk your head off and ask you a bunch of questions.
It sounds fun.
Well, for our listeners tonight, we're going to be talking with Laura Craig Gaddis. Or is it Gaddis or Gaddis?
Gaddis,
okay, from Puka Pages.
Uh-huh.
And I've been following this for 5 years. It's a wonderful magazine for your children. If you have any questions for Laura or a comment that you'd like to share, you can call in at 347-308-8222 and press 1 at the prompt so I'll know you want to talk to us. So, Lady Bridget, would you like to start the questioning?
Yeah, let's do that. You know, Laura, some people may not be familiar with your Puka Pages, and for those poor souls who really don't know what they're missing, can you tell us what is Puka Pages? What are they? What is that?
Well, I'll try. It's a website and an online magazine for pagan children. It's not a pagan parenting magazine. A lot of people don't understand that. It's for kids, and it's written to the children. We have a new issue that comes out about a week before each pagan holiday and has stories, coloring pages, herb articles, and we have crafts, spells, and rituals for little ones, and all kinds of things.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. I want to tell you that right now.
Absolutely.
But well, anyway, and that's what it is, and it's free to just go on the website and download.
Oh, yeah, and it is a PDF, by the way. So you can print it right on, you know, right from online and print them out, and then I've done this. I've saved them, and when my little girl gets old enough, I'm going to be printing them out and handing them to her. We're going to go through these, okay? One at a time, you're going to learn this. But it's fun to all, and I just love the cat. The cat, Pooka, is just adorable.
Oh, he'll be so happy to hear that.
That's a fun way
to
learn.
He's a real cat, by the way. He is.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was.
Uh-huh.
And he gets I want to get a hat for mine.
Oh, yes.
So what was your inspiration for beginning this site? What made you decide to do that?
Well, it started with a picture I was drawing of a little witch sitting, reading in bed with her cat curled up on her lap asleep and, you know, the comfy quilt and everything. And by the end of the picture, I knew the names. I knew everything about them. You know how that kind of happens sometimes? And so
they came to life for you then.
They really did. And next thing I knew, I was writing a story about them, and then I drew more pictures and wrote more stories, and people on my old website seemed to like them. And a friend of mine, Thea Williford, suggested, well, why don't we turn this into a magazine for kids? And so that's how it all got started.
Oh,
wow.
Well, the term Pooka, is that in reference to the mischievous little spirits, or is that
yes.
just a name? Okay. So
well,
Pooka really is a mischievous little spirit, right?
Well, he's definitely a mischievous spirit. he doesn't shapeshift too often.
I said if it's a cat, yes, always. Cats are very interesting critters, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when did Pooka Pages materialize?
It started about 13 years ago. We're in our 13th year now.
Yay.
So, and it's been going on steadily ever since.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, I love it. How many staff members does it take to produce the pages?
Well, we have contributors, actually, from all over the world. We have about 6 regular contributors. There's Fiona Tinker in Scotland and Evelyn Roos in the Netherlands. Lillian in Canada does our coloring pages and various people. And then they send their articles in by a certain deadline, and then I put them all together in the magazine.
Oh, so it's truly a global experience. Isn't that marvelous?
Wow.
Yes.
That is. It really is. How did that come about?
Well, just the internet. People all over the world discovered Pooka. and I stumbled across these fantastic people that were originally subscribers. And also happened to be really great writers or artists. Yeah,
see,
we have somebody,
I think that's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Tell me, is it a lot of work, getting all of these people to line up by a deadline time? Do you have a lot of problems with that, or are they as inspired as you are?
They're as inspired as I am. I have
Isn't
got the best crew in the world. I mean, all I have to do is send out a little reminder to them, hey, deadline's coming up, guys. And then brace myself with a barrage of articles.
So you have
they
to sort
just,
through everything, right?
Pardon?
Then you sort through it all, right?
Yeah, then, you know, a little bit of editing and formatting and illustrating and stuff and trying to make it all line up nice and neat in the magazine.
So when you first started this, was it just you or did you have someone else that contributed with you in the very beginning, or how was it 13 years ago? What was it like?
Well, originally, Sia and I were both contributing stories and articles. She's a wonderful poet. And then she went off and was interested in other things, so for a long time I did it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a bit too much for me after about after about 7 years, I couldn't do that by myself anymore.
No, it's hard.
It is hard. It's hard. I mean, I know it's hard. I used to do a publication that I put out, I think, probably 8 years, 9 years I had this publication. And I started off myself doing something on each of the Sabbaths. So I had 8 issues a year that I was working on. And there was a lot of content in there. So in the beginning, it was entirely me, and I had to make up names, and I'm not good at that. And I had to make up names of people to put to the byline for the column, so it wasn't always Lady Bridget.
I used to produce the Wiccan Times monthly.
Yes.
Monthly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like,
oh wow.
You know, you spend the whole month preparing just for that last week of it, getting it to press.
Yes. To get ready for the
you
next
do.
Month. And see, and that was one of the ones that I had exchanged with. And it really sucks that I didn't know you back then, because I could have exchanged with you to get pages for my boys. But, you know, it wasn't around when my boys were little, unfortunately. It would have been cool if it was. But I know I really look forward to getting the Wiccan Times. That was one of my favorite I call them trade publications. In other words, the publications that I traded back and forth with. And, you know, I'd give her a few issues, she'd give me an issue, and then we would promote each other. And that was, you know, the beauty of things back then, because we really didn't have the internet like we do now. So is yours entirely like word of mouth? Is that how yours started off?
It's how we still are. One
really?
Person tells another, who tells somebody else, and yeah, or sometimes somebody will stumble across the website on a Google search, Pagan Kids, but mostly it's always just been word of mouth.
Well, we spread it all we can, I can tell you that.
Well, how did you find out about it?
Just doing an internet search.
Okay.
In Chicago, I had a group called the Pagan Patch Kids, and it was just for the kids. Well, when I moved here, of course, that was gone. So when the internet came up, I started looking for things for my nephew, and lo and behold, there came Puka Pages. So that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to start saving all of these, and I didn't get enough of them, I can tell you that, because you're in publication a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Sometimes I worry about running out of ideas, but then the kids and our readers and stuff always come to the rescue.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you use any special software or program or anything, or do you just draw the pictures out and scan them?
For the artwork, you mean?
Yeah.
I used to do oil paintings. But then I had two girls born 13 years apart, so as soon as one was old enough, the other was a toddler, and I learned oil painting around children is a very, very bad idea. So my husband got a graphics tablet for me and a Paint Shop Pro program, and I've stuck to that and used it ever since. So it's like like a little tablet with a stylus pen, and I draw on that, and that's how I do it.
That's wonderful.
I'm going to have to learn Photoshop, but not today.
Not today. Well, do you use a page editing program at all? Like Page Plus or something? Page editing. Or is it all just like you draw it all out, you know? I mean, I don't know if I'm wording this right. What do you use to actually publish your PDF?
Oh, okay. Well, first I put it all together in an old-fashioned Microsoft Word doc.
Okay.
You know, arrange the pictures and arrange the lettering and titles and things like that. And then when I've got it to where I like it, I turn it into a PDF. I think I'm using Nitro right now, Nitro PDF.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I have to look. but then I change it into a PDF, and then I use Frontpage to program to publish it to the website.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's all old school, old fashioned stuff.
Well, I always forget we're all familiar with that old stuff. Lady Bridget and I, I like to experiment, but when it comes time to actually do a publishing, I like the old standbys.
Yeah. Yep. I'm afraid I'm the type of person when I go into a library, I still use the old-fashioned card catalog to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't go to the library anymore. The internet spoiled me.
Yeah, I just got a tablet, and I've been doing library books through there, actually, and I'm all excited about that. So,
I have a tablet, and I didn't have one before, and I'm learning how to use the thing.
Me too.
Well, what inspired you to create new pages?
You mean the various stories or articles?
Yeah, where do you get your inspiration from, basically? You know, I understand you do the Sabbats and things, but do you get those eureka moments when you think, oh, this is a great page?
Yes, actually, sometimes I do. Mm-hmm. A lot of times my cat, Pooka, is the source of inspiration, the stuff that he pulls. And, like there was once when I have an herb room, a room of the house totally devoted to herbs. I used to have an herb shop. And, and I do my rituals in there, and I was teaching classes here in the house for a while, and we would go into the herb room and hold circles. And the first time Pooka joined us, we were passing energy around clockwise. Mm-hmm. Well, he got this funny look on his face and started racing around the outside of the circle in the opposite direction. And it was like he was trying to push the energy back where it belonged.
Wow.
That was inspiration for a story.
Oh, wow. I bet
that
was.
That's funny. That's funny. So yeah, now then, that I'm back with you, I was sitting here asking you a couple questions and everybody's talking, and I'm like, what did I do? Am I not working? And then I realized I moved my phone and I hit the mute button.
Again?
Oh. So, I tend to do that every time I move it around. But so you're saying you're like us, you're old fashioned. I am not as good at manipulating any of the old programs. I'm not as computer literate as Kazan is. She's amazing. She's just amazing. And then when I see that you do these Pooka pages, and now that I know that you're drawing them out, I'm just fascinated by that. It's just mesmerizing, and it's just absolutely fascinating. So you just draw these out, and then what do you have to scan it into your computer from there? Is that what you do?
No, with my graphics tablet and the special stylus pen, I can plug it into the computer, and then I draw on it like you would a piece of paper.
Wow.
And it shows up on the screen.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
So
wow.
I kind of have to retrain myself to look
ruler.
At the screen as I draw.
You know, I've always envied people who can draw.
Yeah. My mom was good at drawing. My boys are both good at drawing. I don't have as much of a knack, but I can do a straight line. And
I can't.
Oh,
I can't
honey,
either.
I
can't draw a straight line.
My mother taught me a little trick for drawing a line and making a straight line, and I'm really good at doing it, and I've got that eye for it. So when I would do, like, stage stuff, and I had to do duct tape, I could start at one end and lay it down at the other end and have a straight line. And the guys just tease me. They'd say, that's the fastest laying duct tape. Don't get her mad. She's quick with the duct tape, because I am. I hogtied somebody with it once. But, you know, so I'm good at drawing and making a straight line with things like that. So I find it fascinating that you could do that from just a tablet onto your computer. I would You know, it's one of those things where if I had to have the opportunity where I could sit with either one of you, I would be sitting beside both of you, my mouth hanging open, because I'm just awed and amazed that you could do it. You know, and once I get through that, then it would be like, wow, could you draw this for me? And can you draw that for me? And, oh, how awesome. I think this
I'd be sitting there in awe of you
amazing.
And your duct tape.
Oh.
Okay. Anybody that can go straight with duct tape has my respect.
Well, when I'm ready to repaint, I'll have her do the stripes on my walls.
Right.
Hey, just call me and I can do that, and it'll be straight. I can assure you they will be straight. I'm one of the few people that managed to. There was a guy. He's a country and western singer. That's all I'm going to say about him, other than he was a jerk. But he's real picky about how you tape his stage down, because he has this Mylar that he likes to dance on. And if you don't do it right, he will find out who it was that did the taping and then haul you out in front of everybody and scream and yell at you to embarrass you. So I had already told this road manager. I said, look, dude, I know this, and you know, because he's telling me all this. And I said, look, I already know that. So what you need to understand is if he does, I will use my duct tape on him, and you will have a fun time getting him ready for this show. Do not make this witch angry. So it's time to do it all, and I did a really good thing. And you know, the guy comes, the manager comes out and he says, oh, that was awesome. You did a great job. And here comes this country singer, and he comes out, he looks at it, and he says, wow, that's pretty good for a girl. You did all right. I'm like, what do you mean
pretty
for
good for
a
girl?
For a girl? I said, I got your girl, boy. Oh,
no kidding. Good for you.
I got you. I got your girl, boy. So, you know, but here's the one thing I've noticed about your Puka pages. They are they're very positive. They're very up. They're very inspiring, and they're neutral. You don't really take a stand on any issues, because that's not what it's about. It's about teaching and sharing. And I wonder how you get your creativity. What gives you your inspiration? Do you have preset notions of what you're going to do for each issue?
Well, I'd have to say it's a lot of last-minute panic. I freak out. I bang my head on the desk.
Right? Yeah, I think we can relate to that, can't we, Kazan?
Oh, definitely.
So, last-minute pressure. So you don't really sit down and plan pages out in advance?
Not really. Sometimes something that one of the contributors sends in will give me an idea. I could write a cook story around that. You know, good subject. Mostly I just kind of like run around the house waving my hands in the air and tearing my hair out for a while, and then get in the car, go for a drive, you know, and finally, at the last minute, some kind of idea usually comes to me.
Wow.
Well, could you tell our listeners basically what the premise of Puka Pages is? I mean, we talk about you write stories and tell what you do put into your magazine.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Could you tell what you actually put into your magazine
as
like regular features?
Every issue starts, it's for children, Pagan children, and every issue usually starts out with a Puka story, usually revolving around whatever holiday is coming up, but not always. And then we have coloring pages. There's usually a few simple recipes for little kitchen witches, you know, because I'm a firm believer in kids in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
From the time they're old enough to stand on a stool. And there's from Elsie's Garden, which focuses on herbs in a way that a child can relate to. Then we have Kaluna, does a wonderful craft column, usually centered again around the holiday. crafts that kids can do alone or do with a grown-up. And let me see, there are other stories. Evelyn has her Jimmy the Hedgehog story that always goes into each article. I'm trying to think
what else.
Carmen
about?
Does spells and rituals for kids. Pardon?
I was going to say, what is the Hedgehog series about?
It's about Jimmy the Hedgehog. He started out as a little hedgehog out in the woods who stumbled across a magic circle where a witch was doing a circle and celebrating the holiday. And he became friends with her. And he would have various run-ins with the god or the goddess of the forest. And he eventually ended up, through several stories, following Isabel, the girl witch, home.
Oh,
and so he's sort of become her familiar. they are adorable, and they're really popular.
Oh, that's adorable.
And those are from Evelyn Roos, who lives in the Netherlands.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And again, you have your coloring pages and your puzzle pages?
Yes. yes, Lillian Grenier does most of our coloring pages. Now, she's a fantastic artist who lives in Canada. And she's came across her, and she was happy to come on board, and we haven't looked back. I haven't done a coloring page, I think, since she came on. She's just too good.
Aww.
She puts me to shame.
Goodness.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're about at the halfway point, so I thought we could take a musical break. Lady Bridget, would you like to introduce this song? It's called Lady Moon by Kellyanna. Would you like to introduce this?
I think you just did.
No, you're supposed to say, this is our guest coming up.
Yes, it is. We are really excited and very thrilled that we are going to have Kellyanna on our show, and she's going to be coming up here for one of our shows coming soon. We're not saying when, just soon. So you'll have to listen to the show in order to hear her. And tonight what we're going to do is give you a little bit of a sample of some of her music. So Kazan's going to play a little bit of that golden voice for you. So sit tight, and we will be right back.
All right, and here is Lady Moon by Kellyanna.
Bathing me strange winds blew.
That was a beautiful song by Kiliana, a little bit on the bluesy side, but I like torch singers. Okay, ladies,
too.
Are you still with me?
Beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure. So, well, for our listeners, tonight we are talking with Laura Craig-Gaddis from Puka Pages. And if you have any questions for Laura or anything that comments you'd like to share with us about their wonderful Puka Pages, you can give us a call. We're at 347-308-8222. And remember to press the number 1 if you want to get in to talk to us. So, Laura, do you have a physical magazine that goes with your internet site?
No, it's strictly an online publication. If we printed it out for people, then we'd have to charge, and I feel very strongly about keeping it free for all kids.
That's wonderful.
That was like the next question.
Yeah,
that was the next question.
Sorry.
No, that was my, I'm just saying, no, that really, that's cool. It was my next question. Have you ever charged a fee for it? I mean, that was the next thing. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
so
I think somebody talked me into it for about a month, and I just said, oh, to heck with it. This is against the whole principle of the thing, so.
Okay, so this is, to you, this is part of your spiritual work, right?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
I
agree. I agree. I mean, to me, our pagan children, they're so special. We have to do what's right by them. We have to give them everything that we can give them. Because, well, all of us old school knows what it's like to come up in a world that had no knowledge of who we were or what we were. And have it being so accepted now and being able to teach and to show them, look, you have a rightful place. This is valid. I think that's wonderful.
Yes, and
you
guys will remember that, back even just 13 years ago, most children weren't even allowed in circles.
No.
And there was really nothing for them. You know,
no, but I have to say that Pan Pagan did allow us to bring kids to the festivals.
Did
I
they?
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that because I'm an elder of Pan Pagan, and it was always, you know, for as much as one of the other elders was a pain, what could be a pain, not always, but he could be. We all could be a pain. But Kazan, you know, Kazan knows what I'm saying. You know, but he always said, the children, are our future. And if we do not nourish our future when they are little, what are we going to get when they're older? You know, so it was always important to him to nourish the children. So as at you know, I hate to keep plugging Pan Pagan, but, you know, for a festival that was back in gosh, back in the 70s, it was new. It was festivals were still a fairly new thing in that time, in that genre. And we weren't always as public about it as we are now. So for us, it was always important to have something for the kids. And as we evolved, we even had a time, so now, you know, what they have now is one of the nights they have entertainment, what they call the Pagan Follies, which are very entertaining, something that no one wants to miss. And you want to talk about pagans making it somewhere on time? That would be
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, we all know what pagan time is. Whatever time you show up.
Sure. Pagan standard time is usually 1 hour later. If you say 6 o'clock, they go at 7. That's
absolutely
pagan standard time. I've always tried to at least go half of that. So I always try to do half of pagan standard time. Hey, there's a proof of page for you to do. You could teach our pagan children what pagan standard time is. And maybe hopefully teach them how to avoid it. Why it's a good thing not to do that. That's what I always try to get with my boys. This is
that's
a great
idea.
To be on time, you know, and do something on time. So there you go. So you wouldn't charge a subscription, and you know we know of course that you know you were saying earlier that you have other people that help you put this together. What compiles an issue? How many hours do you put into this for each issue?
Not nearly as much as I did when I had help, but it still takes it takes a solid week, about 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
To put out each issue and write the story and do the illustrations. It takes about 7 days.
Well,
sure.
I got to hand it to your team,
that, can't
too.
We?
Yeah, well, your team
Absolutely.
Does all of this gratis, too, right? They do it just because they believe that's their spiritual thing to do. I mean, I love the idea that you have so many people involved.
Yeah, I think it's their way of just giving back to the community. And taking most of them are parents or grandparents. In fact, all of them are. Now that I think about it.
Okay.
And so they feel strongly about children.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I do like, too.
Yes.
The one thing I like about your magazine, too, is it's non-tradition. Okay. In other words, any tradition, a child from any tradition or being raised in one, could go to your pages and get something out of it. It's not biased in any way.
Thank you. Yes, we try very hard for that because there are so many different traditions that are out there. And all
and
of
I've
them, you know, they're
that.
All valid. So
sure
we just try to stick
and
to the
I
basics.
And I noticed that with your pages. But you I was just going to say, you try to stick to the basics and you try to give them as much of a rounded source of information. For example, you might have a Greek god or a Roman goddess or a Celtic goddess, and it's like you do try to get a wide variety in there.
Yes. We do. And it makes it more interesting too.
Sure.
Well, do you have any plans for putting out one for, say, anywhere from 12 to 15, you know, preteen to teen? Do you have any plans for that?
No, I really don't. I figure we better stick to doing what so far we've been good at, or tried to be good at. Right. You know. There is somebody,
I think the teens are... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the teens would find your Puka pages just as interesting. From the standpoint of some that were 14 years old and 15 years old and what they were interested in and what my boys were interested in. When they hit 14 and 15, they didn't have something like what you produce. They didn't have anything like that for my children growing up. And I would just, for them, we would share the witches' almanacs that were put out, the popular ones that were always put out. That's very similar in some ways. Oh God, yeah, I love those too. And those are similar to the Puka pages. You remind me of that a lot, of the Witches' Almanacs.
What a wonderful compliment! Thank you.
I think that even the teenagers would find Puka pages interesting.
Well, I read them.
So,
I mean,
people of all ages.
Sure, I don't just download them. I read them.
I've gotten letters from subscribers who are adults that say they're in a beginning class and that they take them to the classes, beginning classes in Wicca, and they use them there because it's written for children and it is put so simply that it's easier for them to wrap their minds around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to some of the books, they get a little heavy in explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say it makes it simple for them.
Well, I
so
like your Elsie pages with the herbs, too, because that really makes it simple.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, let's face it. We have all studied the herbs, okay? We know them inside and out. But the mind gets boggled when you really sit there and you try to think, okay, now I'm going to do this spell. Which particular herb is going to be good for this? You know, and you got all this litany of information running through your mind. You know, I like to stick to just some basics, okay? I don't like to go looking for exotic stuff. It's not going to make it any better.
Things that are readily available, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You've got your kitchen cover to grab something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you caught that earlier on, Kazan, when Laura mentioned that she has an herb room.
Oh, yeah, I caught that. A whole room.
Yeah, I caught that too. A whole room for herbs. Wow, how cool is that? And you know, that makes my wheels turn. So, Laura, you could be in trouble because... You know, we might want to bring you back to pick your brain for ideas for the herbs. And we have a series on our show. It's The Witches Cupboard. And we like to do a lot of herbal work with that and different fun things and informative things. And we've done a lot with that, haven't we? Some of my favorite ones have been the protection, herbs for protection. That was one of my favorite shows that we had done. So we would love to have you come on to do that and talk about your herb room. That would be fun.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people might
like
to have one. Yeah. We should have. We'll have you on and you can talk about your herb room and how it got started and, you know, what your requirements were and everything. That sounds like it would be a whole show in and of itself. Making your own herb room.
Absolutely.
That sounds like fun.
I am going to have... it is going to be fun because I'm going to have a spare room here in my house and I'm going to want to... I'm like, wow, now I know what I can do with it. So anyway, with 13 years of doing Puka pages, do you have a favorite page?
Do you mean like a favorite story in the past or a favorite column in the magazine?
A favorite page, a favorite story, a favorite column. I mean, in 13 years, I'm sure that you've gotten something that was your favorites, like we're going on 3 years for our show here. And, you know, I have certain favorites that that I have, like the one I was talking about, the witch's cupboard with the herbs for protection. Do you have anything that's favorite for you? Any stories, any columns or pages?
Well, there's one story that is one of my favorites, and I'm not sure why, because it's a silly little story, but it's an Imbolc story in which Elsie and Pooka have just done an Imbolc ritual, and so now the earth is going to thaw and the green things are going to come up. So Pooka's out in the garden sitting in the snow, freezing his butt off, waiting for his catnip to spring up out of the ground. And
I love it.
Everybody goes by and makes fun of him, and he sits there very stubbornly. Elsie and I did a ritual last night, so now the catnip's going to grow. I'm being patient. I'm waiting. I'm looking. Until finally Elsie comes out, and of course everybody's making fun of him because his butt's probably frozen by now. And she comes out and has to explain to them that, I know we did a ritual, but it just doesn't happen like that overnight. You know, sometimes Mother Earth has to take her time and do it on her clock. And then tells him an old ritual that I taught my girls when they were little. Said maybe we can help it along a bit. And she smacks on the ground with the palm of her hand about three times and yells into the ground, Ma, wake up! And says, oh, that's her hands off and goes back in the cottage.
Oh, that's
and, but the whole lesson about, you know, sometimes magic takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't happen always like in cartoons or something, but also the thing about Pooka is constantly freezing his butt off, and when he gets up to follow her in the cottage, he finds his hind legs are a little bit frozen, so he's hobbling a bit.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
I don't know, like I said, it's a silly story, but it's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm. It is a cute story.
You say,
it's a very cute story.
You say you publish around 8 times a year for the Sabbats, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, on your site, how far back do the issues go?
Well, right now, for a very short time, I do have the past 2 years up. But the thing is, we have four seasonal books coming out, and right now the winter book is available. And I do have a thing in my contract with the publisher where I can't post some of the stuff up that's in the book.
Okay.
So the other material, for the most part, going way back, is if it's gone in a book, it won't be on the site. It's back issues are very hard to get. Sorry.
Okay.
So you're actually going to have a physical book?
We do have one right now. It's put out by Pie Plate Publishing. It's on Amazon, and it's in Barnes & Noble. And it's Elsie and Pooka's winter book. And right now I'm working on a fall book, a book that we hope to have out and available this fall. And then after that, there will be a spring and a summer book.
Well, will it be available on
what
Amazon?
Pardon?
Will it be available on Amazon?
It is available on Amazon, yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and then, so what's the title? What is the title for it, Laura?
If you do a search, Elsie and Pooka Winter, it'll pop up.
Okay.
Okay, okay. Okay, because that way if any of our listeners would like to get the book, they'll know how to go onto Amazon, they'll know what to type in, so, you know, maybe they can be able to acquire the book, too. They can have that.
That would be wonderful.
That would really be fabulous. Absolutely. So you must have a lot of subscribers, then, to be able to do this, to have such a wonderful website and Facebook page and now a book and doing books, too.
I'm not sure how many subscribers we've actually got. I've got 2 subscriber lists. They total about 4,500.
Wow.
And
wonderful.
They got backed out, and I decided I can't afford to keep paying for new subscriber sites. So So I still send notices to those people when an issue comes out, but for the most part, we go through Facebook now. And a lot of people, besides those subscribers, just know us on Facebook.
Well, would you like to tell our listeners where on Facebook?
Pardon?
Tell our listeners how they can get to your Pooka pages on Facebook.
Oh, sure. It's Pooka Pages Team. Pooka is capitalized. The first letter of Pages is capitalized, and the T in Team is capitalized.
Okay.
So, but Pooka Pages Team. It's where our team members get together and can talk about upcoming issues, and the friends that like Pooka can come on and ask questions or make suggestions about what they'd like to see. And
you do post notices when there's something new there?
Yes. Every time a new issue comes out, we let everybody know on Facebook.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, that's great. So how many books do you have out?
Right now, just the one.
So this is your first one. Oh, wonderful.
Right. Yeah, just the one right now, but then we will have three more. We should have three more coming out, one for each season. And then after that, I'd really like to do one on the moon and magic.
Oh, that sounds
just
wonderful.
Just focusing on moon, lore, and magic.
Oh,
see, you have to
wonderful.
You have to let us know. I've got to have those books. You have to let us know.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And definitely. Because Ann and I will be the first one standing in line to get these books. Because they're
But when we get them, how are we going to get them signed? I want mine signed.
That's my next question. I want mine signed, too.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll get out the ink pad and grab Pooka's little paw.
Okay, that'll work.
And have to autograph it.
Yep, that'll work.
That's a good idea. You actually should do that. And make a paw print that you can use as a standard paw print, and that way you can have Pooka be giving personal autographs. That would be so cute, with little pictures. You could do a picture.
He's done that in the past. He's gotten very good at it.
Oh, really?
I bet. I was going to say, does he have his own fan club?
Well, pretty much.
Oh, cool. That's always good. I mean, you know, it's nice to have a cat that has a fan club. That could be interesting. Look at Grumpy Cat. He's got a big fan club.
Yeah. You know, with a face like that, of course. Oh, I love Grumpy Cat.
Oh, that cat is so...
Well, everybody loves Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat.
You know,
yeah,
I know that is the sweetest, most affectionate cat. It just has a face like that. And the owner was saying how sweet and affectionate it was. Yes, somebody in the chat room is asking if there will be a book tour with a book signing.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know. You'd have to talk to my publisher about that.
See, well, that's a good possibility. That could happen, you know, if you... get enough people. That's it, Kazan. Here's what we can do. We can start a little movement, you know, getting people to send lots of emails to her publisher saying, we want to see him on tour. We want to see her on tour. And I know there's a couple of really good pagan shops here in my neck of the woods out here in Ohio that we could put you in. Where are you at, by the way?
I'm in California.
That's a long way.
I see.
Yeah, I live sort of up in the hills. Yeah, up around Palm Springs.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, my stars.
No wonder she's got an herb room.
There, isn't it?
She's got a growing season that lasts all year.
Pretty much.
I'm jealous. That's pretty cool. I'm jealous. I have a brother that lives in Nevada. And I know he's always saying, you should come to Nevada. It's because I like it warm. I don't like the cold. And I'm in Ohio. So in here, Ohio, it just it gets so cold, and it's getting to be too much. And I've talked to Kazan about it before, and she's saying, "Oh, you should come to Arizona or Arkansas." I don't know why I always want to say Arizona, because I have somebody in Arizona that thinks about me. But Kazan's in Arkansas, and it's always really warm there. I have her temperature on my phone, so I can check her temperature and see what the heat thing is out there by her.
Oh, yeah, well, wait till Friday. You could be glad you're not here.
And then here in California, people complain that there are no seasons. But you have seasons.
I can do without the seasons. I'm fine.
Yeah, I have to have seasons.
Yes. Oh, they're saying in the chat room here that cat lovers would love this book as well. They'd like it, too. I would agree. Cat lovers... Absolutely, cat lovers would love that book because, you know, it's wonderful. Oh, you could go to Florida. They don't have a water problem. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay.
That's really. Florida's okay.
That's not nice.
Florida's good. Florida is good. Well, I don't think they meant it. I don't think they meant it that way. It was just, you know, I can go to Florida where it's warm and they don't have a water problem there. It depends on where you are in Florida, because my sister was kind of regulating when she could water her garden. But
really?
I don't know.
Really?
Sometimes I think that, that was her excuse, because my sister just, I have the green thumb. Somehow she got passed by when that was being handed out. So her plants, she looks at them and they just go, "Oh no, it's that lady. Everybody prepare to die." So she has no good luck with plants. So anyway, they said, "Oh, they're bad." No, they didn't mean it that way. They were born in California, so they didn't mean that water comment like it sounded. But anyhow, you know, it's been fun having you on the show. I'm so glad that you made it to be on with us tonight. We were really excited about this.
And I enjoyed myself so much.
I was looking forward to it. Good.
Well, we can't wait to have you back for the Herb Room show.
We look forward to having you back again. Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, we have some really exciting things coming up in the next few weeks here. So we have some wonderful guests, and we have some wonderful ideas coming on for you. We hope you'll join us next week. Should we talk about next week and our special guest?
Yes, we should.
Or should we just let people, we could just let people wonder, and that way they have to tune in next week to the same witchy time and same witchy channel. Say at the end of every show. So we'll let them guess who's going to be on. You're going to find out. If you're a part of Lady Bridget's Ask a Witch Facebook page, you'll see the ads that we will be posting and things that we'll be putting up there to let you know what we have coming up. And in the meantime, Laura, is there any way that you want to let people know how they can get in touch with you?
They can go to the website. It's www.pookapages.com. And there's a contact button there where people can email me.
Okay.
Or go to our Facebook page.
Which is Pookapages
Team, right? Pookapages Team. Pardon?
Okay. It was Pookapages
Team. Yeah, Pookapages Team.
Okay, and that's where all the releases will be for the books that are coming out and the new issues of Pooka Pages, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I let everybody know everything on Facebook now.
Oh, you joined the crowd, right?
Yeah.
Not everything, almost everything. I don't know. Almost everything. There's some things
depends
I don't
on
want
how much
to put up
I've
on
had.
There. And, that's where I have an advantage, because I do, although I like my wine and margaritas and occasionally I like a black velvet with Diet Pepsi, but I have the sense to know to stop with just one or really watch other people that have
gotten really drunk. We have family members that have gotten really drunk and done some silly things that end up on Facebook. So,
oh,
no, I'm not going to do that.
You did not want that to happen.
I'm not going to do that. You know, I regret not having pictures of my oldest son when he and a friend dressed up as girls for Halloween, just trying to impress these other girls. And the other girls thought it was hilarious, but they weren't going for it. You know, they had other ideas, I guess. So the boys were dejected, and they were just really, they were, oh, that was rough. We got dressed up for nothing, you know. So, yeah, but, you know, I do, somebody ended up coming up with a picture of it. So we do have a little bit of pictures there. We have evidence. So be careful what you do. It could end up on Facebook when you don't want it to.
Yeah, once you're in you're there forever.
Absolutely. We have somebody here in the chat room, Elsie and Puka Stories of the Sabbaths and Seasons. There's a website. If you are in our chat room, there's a website that she has posted. Thank you, Madam Samantha, for posting that for us. I appreciate it because I can't do that type and talk like that. You can talk and I can type, and that's really good, but I'm not too talented. So I want to thank everybody for being with us. I want to thank Laura for making it onto the show tonight. We've had a great time.
And thank you so much for
really
having me.
We enjoyed your company.
Oh,
we look forward
we
to
have
having
had a good
you
time
again.
With
for
you.
Those, absolutely. And for our listeners, we thank you for being with us, both live and through our archives, because it's for you that we do this show, and our listeners mean everything to us. So join us next week at the same witchy time at the same witchy channel. Take care of yourselves. Be good to you. Blessed be from me. And Kazan?
All right, Laura, I really do thank you for all the work, and I thank your team for all the work and the effort you put in. I just think you're doing a very blessed thing. And thank you, listeners. And again, same time next week. Blessed be, everybody.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.